You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, feeling good, like I should.
Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. This guy's just one of the best. Was absolutely fantastic when I was doing Mets pre- and post-game with us. He is Terry Collins, the former manager of the Mets, who joins us right now. Terry, it's Chris Carlin up in New York. How you doing tonight?
Chris, it's good to talk to you. How you been?
I'm doing great, and it's great to hear you, too. And I really have to wonder, you're one of the first guys I think of when something like this comes up in baseball the last few days. What have been your thoughts, initial reactions, when you've heard all about the controversy regarding spider tack and pine tar and whatever pitchers are using now?
Yeah, you know, Chris, I read the papers, and I get the New York papers down here, and I read them all the time. But, you know, I got to say, I got a wider range of feelings right now. I spent a long time in the Pacific Coast League where I played and managed in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where it's high and dry, and you've got Phoenix and Tucson and Vegas and, you know, Salt Lake City, where the humidity's down. You know, pitchers had to have something that they could control the baseball. And I'm sorry, you can't. I'm done listening to managers say, oh, you know, I don't know anything about this. Everybody's used it. Everybody's had something so they could control the baseball. Now, spin rate, I don't believe that. I believe spin rate is created by, you know, the ball leaving your hand. I think spin rate helps you on a breaking ball with something on it. But you know what? I will tell you, all those years I was in the Coast League, I used to tell the hitters, you don't want the guy to control the ball, you know, go ahead and get in the batter's box. Because I thought what Pete Alonso said the other day is very, very true, and that is, you know, these guys are throwing so hard today, and if they can't command the baseball, and, you know, they're in every baseball, the pregame is rubbed up differently. And so you might get some slippery balls, and the one thing I wouldn't want to have is somebody throwing, you know, 98 miles an hour and also not being able to command it.
Terry, I mean, when you say it's been going on, I mean, it's basically been, and not just the last few years, this has been going on decades, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, nobody didn't worry about, you know, Chris, there was a time when, you know, nobody wore batting gloves and nobody used pine tar and the stick'em stuff now they put on bats. You know, hitters went up there, you know, in March and April with, you know, in those freezing temperatures and, you know, had to hit. And nowadays, now hitters are getting in the batter's box. They got armor on their elbows and armor on their shins. And, you know, there's, you know, someplace along the line, the pitchers, even though they are dominating the game today, that's, you know, there's no place to go. You know, you can't, it's tough to pitch in because guys aren't intimidated anymore.
Terry Collins, the former Met manager, joining us right now. You catch him on SNY. He's on Baseball Night in New York quite a bit. Terry, when you heard the words from Alonso, you get to that point where you hear about the grip, okay, and then he takes it a step further. I'm wondering what you thought when you heard Pete talk about, you know, Major League Baseball messing with the baseballs because they're trying to manipulate free agency.
Chris, I will tell you, I will tell you what, they're messing with the game. I'm sorry. They're messing with the game totally. I understand the live baseball. I saw it. I mean, I saw there were balls being hit that, you know, you thought, gosh, a guy hit it off the end of the bat and it, you know, carried 410 feet. And, you know, you're saying, wow, what's going on? Now, are they, you know, making the baseball softer? I have no idea. But, you know, MLB is messing with the game itself. And so that's why, that for me is, you know, Pete has a better idea about that than I do. You know, he squares up a lot more balls than I ever squared up. So, you know, I think I understand where he's coming from, but I will tell you what, you know, this game is about, you know, the guys doing the best they can to make sure they can pitch the best they can or hit the best they can. So it's a two-way street for me. And, you know, and I think it gets blown out of proportion sometimes.
But do you think that they're messing with the game and messing with the baseballs from a financial standpoint or because of the criticism that they get from it going back and forth? Are they trying to do this because in one year like this year, you may have a ton of hitters that are free agents and further along in arbitration?
I don't know if that's the case. I know that, you know, there was a time when everybody was hitting home runs. So they said, hey, look, we've got to keep the ball in the ballpark. So now you've got guys, everybody's throwing 100 miles an hour, not everybody, but a lot of guys are high 90s now, which never was seen for a long time. And guys were, you know, hitting home runs due to the lively baseball. So they said, hey, we got to keep the ball in the ballpark. Well, what's everybody complaining about today? And there's no offense. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't get the conflict of, hey, look, we have no offense, and yet we're going to deaden the baseball to keep it in the park when that is what the game is about today. So all you're going to do is create better pitching. You know, some of those balls that would carry before are going to get caught now in the warning tracks. And, you know, the guys aren't changing their swings, Chris, I'm telling you. There's nobody anymore that hits that high pitch and gets on top of that ball like, you know, they did for years and years. Because the balls, you know, everybody's got this, the launch angle concern. So I just don't know how they're going to fix it all. But, I watch games every night, and I just sit there and think, wow, you know, someplace along the line, they've got to let these great players go play.
All right, Terry, let's talk about the sticky stuff issue from what's acceptable and what's not. So it sounds like, and tell me if I'm wrong, you're fine with this, with guys using it just to control the baseball better. But where is the line between what's acceptable for a pitcher to be using in that regard and what's not?
You know, Chris, I don't have an answer for that. I mean, for years, I know guys use pine tar. And I know the new thing now is, you know, the sunscreen with the rosin. You know, that can get sticky. Now people are coming out with stuff. Well, you know, years and years ago, guys, when everybody's complaining about the spitball, guys used to wet their undershirts. You know, they tug their under. I don't really have an answer for you, except, you know, pitching is so good today that, you know, they throw so much so hard, and it's all about, you know, spin rates and all of the great stuff, and some guys can't spin the ball like other people can. But yeah, I don't know if you can put a tag on it. All I know is if I'm in that batter's box and somebody's throwing 100 miles an hour, I hope the heck they can command that thing. Yeah, because, you know, you're going to see more of the Pilar situations than not.
That was as scary as could be. And with that in mind, it's been kind of my thought here, Terry, that they've messed with the baseball. So let's, instead of being able to fix it midseason, which they can't do with the ball itself, even though they own Rawlings, let's kind of blame the pitchers here and try to fix it on the fly, so to speak, that way. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Chris, I think that's a very fair way to look at it. Very fair way. And like I said, you know, there, you go to different ballparks, and it'll be nice. I've had pitchers come off the field tonight, certain nights in different parks, and say, gosh, the ball's really slippery tonight. Well, what's the first thought? I mean, you have a pitcher that comes off the field, and he tells the pitching coach, wow, these balls are really, they're really slippery tonight. Now, is it because it's cold, or because they weren't rubbed up the same as someplace else, or they weren't rubbed up enough? So, you know, what's the answer to make sure that, you know, you've got to go and, you know, make better pitches? The answer is, hey, how can we get command of the baseball better? And that's what it has, for me, has all been about. I don't know, Chris, all of the ins and outs of spin rates, whether or not, you know, the tacky stuff can, you know, may help you on a breaking ball, but I'm going to tell you something. If you can't spin the ball, all that stuff's not going to help you get up to Seth Lugo's curveball. It's just not going to help you. So I just know that for me, it's all about the command of the thing, being able to command it, doing what you want with it. And hitters, you know, hitters always make adjustments. And I'm so tired of hearing about, well, you know, geez, the pitchers are doing this, pitchers are doing that. We got to, you know what? Put a batter in that batter's box, and I was a hitter, you know, as you know. And, you know, it's tough to pitch inside anymore because they got elbow pads on. And, you know, let's just go play the game. Let's take all that stuff away and say, okay, we're just going to go play and we'll see who's better, pitchers or hitters.
Terry Collins, a former Met manager, just great stuff with him right now. Terry, when you look at the game as a whole, you're talking about them messing with the game, and I don't expect you to have solutions, but what are the parts of what we see in the game right now that bother you the most?
Well, you know, again, you have Jacob DeGrom goes out there and he pitches 9 innings and gives up no runs. And so it's a great game. He's pitching, you know, a great. And so you go to your bullpen and you bring in your best closer because you're going to get into the 10th inning. And now that you got the winning run, staying at second base. I mean, that to me, seriously, you know, where's the thought behind that? Just because you want to get the game over with fast so people can go home? You know, that bothers me a lot when I see that. Because, you know, guys are pitching great, and you bring a relief pitcher in, and, you know, and say what you want, Chris. At the end of the night, I used to tell this to pitchers, hey, look, at tomorrow in the newspaper, there's a W and an L next to only one guy's name. And, you know, when you go out there and you make, you know, you bunt a guy over, and let's just say you bunt him over, and you get a sacrifice fly, and next thing, you know, you go down in order, and you lose a game, and you didn't make a bad pitch. You know, I don't get that. That for me is tough to understand.
One thing I think gets lost here, Terry, is that the good teams still do things to win games. They still make really good contact. They do a lot of those kinds of things. And yet we have so many teams now that it seems like it's home run or bust. We see it with the Yankees a lot. We see it with a lot of other teams. And the at-bats aren't as competitive as they were before if a guy misses what he thinks is his pitch to hit. Am I being unfair in saying that?
No, you're not. You're not being unfair. And I think, you know, it's the same thing. Every hitting coach in the game, I don't care where you go. I don't care how new they are to the analytics side. You know, Chili Davis, who got fired this year, all he talked about was putting the ball in play. And for, you know, by the way, 2 years ago, everybody raved about what a great job he did. But because of the fact that, hey, look, we've got to worry about, you know, launch angles, and we've got to worry about exit velocities. You know, holy cow, there's how many Hall of Famers do we know, Chris, between you and me? Rod Carew, you know, Wade Boggs, Tony Gwynn, great guys who were great hitters. They only hit the ball where nobody was standing. You think they worried about how hard they hit it? You know, they just kept getting on in scoring position all the time. And so, you know, when you take away that part, you're going to lack action. You know, if everybody's got to pull the ball, everybody's got to get the bat out front. I saw some games this weekend where, you know, the Mets lost a couple of games because somebody on the other team hit the ball the other way against the shift. And, you know, I have no problems with the shift because, by the way, Joe Maddon and I, we were one of the first people after Ted Williams to put a shift on Ken Griffey Jr. So I understand all that stuff. But, you know, there's still a time when you got to say with two strikes, hey, I got to just put the ball in play here. You know, all the hitting coaches, hey, let the ball get deep. Let, you know, keep your hands inside the ball. Just put it in play because you never know where it's going to land.
Terry, when you watch games now and you see teams unable to do that, you know, from a hitting standpoint, when you're thinking about all those different things as opposed to that and you're in the box, how does it just take away from your approach as a whole, from your possibility of being successful when it's about getting the opportunity against one or two of those pitches to hit?
Yeah, you know, Chris, I do not know the conversations in the clubhouses anymore. I do not know what the pregame meetings are with the hitting coach and the hitters. All I can tell you is what we used to say, hey, look, you've got to be able to hit a fastball. And especially in today's game, it's as hard as these guys throw. If you can't get ready to hit a fastball, you can't hit in the big leagues. And if you're going to sit there and say, wait for Jake DeGrom to hang a slider, you're going to be there a long time in that batter's box because he's not hanging very many of them. You know, and so you've got to go up there and say, look, I've got to make an adjustment here. And that's where, you know, and I've listened to some of the things you put in your mind. Well, the count's 2-2 and 60% chance I'm going to get a slider here and 40% chance I'm going to get a fastball. That puts doubt in your mind. You know, you've got to go up there with a positive attitude in the batter's box and say, I'm gonna hunt a fastball and I'm going to adjust if it's not a fastball. You know, that's what we were taught for years and years and years, and I think it still applies today, even if it doesn't go over the fence. I think putting the ball in play is still dangerous.
Terry, how much did you want to use the numbers, you know, when you were managing the last few years specifically as this continued to, you know, gather as much steam as it had? How much of it really seeped in that you were willing to be accepting of versus the idea of understanding what a guy's about? Joe Torre would talk about, you know, the numbers don't measure what's inside a guy's chest.
Well, they don't, Chris, but I will tell you this. I use them a lot. I mean, you know, we would sit down and talk about, you know, who we were going to play before the game started. And a lot of it was based on not just, had they faced him before, but hey, what's our best option tonight against this particular pitcher? Certain guys who hit that kind of velocity or hit that kind of breaking ball. So we use those numbers. I think they're great, great coaching assets, but they don't just they don't apply every night. They just don't apply. You know, you're going to tell me that if when David Wright is red hot, that all of a sudden you're going to say, well, geez, he's facing Max Scherzer tonight, and this doesn't, you know, this is a bad matchup. Really? When he's red hot, the best hitter in the game, so you're going to take him out, you know, at that particular time, he's one of the best hitters in baseball, you're going to take him out because, you know, this is a bad matchup? I mean, you know, that stuff to me, when you have talented people, and I will tell you that, Chris, I will fight this forever, talent wins in the big leagues. Talent wins. And the one thing this year right now that the Mets have done, okay, they've got a lot of stars hurt, but they went out and got big league players to sit on that bench. And I go back to 2015, and that's how we went, because we had big league players in the reserve to come in and when one of our stars were out. But, you know, we didn't worry about numbers. We worried about the fact that these guys could play in the big leagues.
Yeah, there's no question. They've got better hold the fort guys, as opposed to guys that once the starters came back may not be in the game all that much longer. Terry, how much more challenging is it for a manager right now when, you know, the fan perception of the game, everybody talks about their handed lineups, and there's only so much that they actually have a say in right now?
You know, Chris, again, I'm not aware of that. I don't know what's being dictated anymore. I will tell you this. When I would manage, you know, Sandy was very, very big into the analytics, never told me how to run the game. He came down and suggested things, but never said, okay, you got to take this guy out, or this guy can only go throw 80 pitches tonight, or he can only, you know, hit 30 times through the lineup. Because for me, the other team will tell you when to take a pitcher out. You know, I've seen some games on TV where a guy's cruising, and they aren't even taking good swings, and next thing you know, here comes someone else in the game. And you look up, and everybody's making all these switches in their bullpen now, ups and downs, because, you're wearing out your bullpens. They're so dynamic today that, guy, you know, hey, look, you pitched 3 innings today. Well, we can't use you for 2 days, so we're going to send you down for 10 days and bring somebody else up just to give us numbers, because we're going to go to our bullpen. And, you know, for me, that wasn't how the game was meant to be played. It was all about situational stuff in the bullpen. So, you know, I watch games, and I don't know where the decisions are made, but I know it's collective for sure.
Okay, I want to just ask you about a couple of specific guys that you know very well. When you watch DeGrom right now, Terry, you spent a long time in the Dodgers organization. You spent a lot of time around Koufax. You've seen great pitching. When you watch what he's doing right now, have you ever seen this before?
I have never seen this before. Never. From anybody. I mean, I don't care. Doc, Nolan Ryan, I never saw anything like this. But again, you know, Chris, and I give Jake all the credit. I mean, this guy competes like crazy, and he's made adjustments. He's saying right now, hey, look, I can throw the ball 100 miles an hour with my four-seam fastball up in the strike zone. They can't hit it because they can't get to it with the swing path now that's in there. And once I start to see him try to catch up, they got to speed the bat up. I throw so hard, they've got to commit their swing early, so now my slider plays. So instead of trying to be a pitcher like he was when he first got up with it, two-seam fastball and use his changeup. And you know what? He's got so many weapons because you have got to be able to get to that fastball. And if you can't, you know, that's why he's been so successful. But I give him all the credit in the world for all the adjustments he's made.
You know, on the flip side, Terry, it was such an incredible run, and you were right in the middle of it with Matt. And you watch him on a game like last night, struggling as he is, knowing that, you know, 95 isn't necessarily going to be an out pitch in the game anymore. What are you thinking when you watch Matt Harvey pitch now?
Well, it saddens me because this guy in 2013, maybe even part of 2015, was the best pitcher in baseball. You know, with that power, throwing 97, 98, 93 mile an hour slider. But the other thing, Chris, he commanded them all. And I think when he had that thoracic outlet surgery, he lost feeling in some of the release points he had. I'm sorry. You know, that's what I've looked at it because he's never been the same. Even though he came back from Tommy John, he just never regained that release point to where his command was so good and so powerful, those great pitches, that he was as great as he was. And now I think he's searching for stuff, and it's really sad because this guy was certainly one of the most fun guys I've ever seen pitch.
Always easy to root for the comeback story, and he's a guy that we've been hoping would be able to kind of refine it. But, I mean, you talk about the command. There are pitches that are just left middle that are getting hit hard right now.
Yeah, that's what we saw last night. I mean, you know, you never saw that before. I mean, you know, there were certain nights where when he was on the mound, I mean, I can give you three nights where, you know, I don't care, hitters did not know what was going to come, and they were on the defensive the entire night trying to say, I know he's going to throw me a 97-mile-an-hour fastball here, but gosh, he throws me that 92-mile-an-hour slider, I have no chance, or that changeup that, you know, was outstanding. And, you know, now they're getting pitches to hit because he's leaving things in the middle of the plate.
All right, two last ones. Back to the sticky stuff or whatever it is, whatever you want to call it. The umpires are now going to be checking for this stuff all the time. They're going to be checking. It's possible they're going to be checking pitchers, catchers, maybe infielders as well. Is this just at a point where it's gotten completely out of hand?
You know, Chris, it's for me to say, yeah, it is. I mean, these guys, these umpires, they got a tough job. But there are certain places where you can see, you know, your catchers used to put it on their shin guards, stuff on their shin guards all the time, but because they wanted to have, you know, they got to throw to the bases. And again, those nights where it's hot and humid and their hands get sweaty, or the nights it's really cold and they've got to get a grip on it. So, you know, who knows where it comes from? But, you know, if everybody thinks that's the difference in the game, I mean, when did in the NFL when they took the sticky stuff away from wide receivers? So all they made were sticky gloves. I mean, you know, when I don't understand the police the game so much. The umpire's got a tough enough job on their hand to go out there every other inning when somebody throws a great curveball and say, well, you know what, that's the best curveball he's throwing tonight, I'm going to go check him. You know, and they're worried about slowing the game down. Yeah. You know, so we're going to go check pitchers every, you know, on every fifth pitch because, wow, that was really a good slider. I mean, I don't understand it all.
All right, Terry, last one. If aside from the second base runner in extra innings, if you had the chance to fix one thing in the game right now, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. Chris, the game has gotten so differently played. Base running is, you know, the base stealing is certainly not part of the game today. And I don't think you can fix all of those types of things. I just don't want them to change the game to where, you know, talent doesn't play, where you've got to, you know, I heard one time where they talked about moving the mound back, you know, or they, you know, what are you going to increase the length of the bases for the Ricky Hendersons of the world or the guys who could really run? I mean, once in a while, the team with the best talent is going to win. If both teams play good, the guys with the best talent is going to win the game, and that's how the game was developed. And I'm sorry, you know, if it's all about, you know, getting home in time, well, I spent 2 years in Japan, and they had tie games because the trains had to get the people home at 10 o'clock, so the games had to be over by then, you know. It's a little different game. But I don't know if there's any one thing, but I just don't want to see him take away the competitiveness of, you know, how the game was formed for all these years and people knew about it. And, you know, okay, yeah, it's a little exciting now that you've got a runner at second base, but, it's the same thing. I saw a game one night where they put a runner at second base with two outs and they had to pinch run for him because he was the slowest guy on the team. And now you take out one of your best players who may come up in an inning and a half later because he can't run. I mean, I don't have any answers for that stuff.
Terry, I didn't mean to keep you this long. I really appreciate you being generous with your time. And you always were when I was doing Mets pre and post. You were terrific and always there to answer questions. I appreciate it. Thanks again. And I hope all is great. One of the great answers I've got when I sent you a text tonight. Yeah, I'm just grilling some chicken. I'm around. Let's do it.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Terry. Terry Collins, the former Met manager, with some great stuff there. I mean, you know, listen, it's clearly aggravating for him. And he says he agrees with Alonso, not necessarily on whether or not the baseball is doing what they're doing to keep salaries down and such. Not that part of it. But that, yeah, I'd rather have guys having sticky stuff to use on their hands to keep the ball controlled when they're throwing it as hard as they are right now. That was great stuff from Terry right there. And I appreciate his time. He's absolutely terrific.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.